Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Be thankful we don't get what we deserve. Commonly referred to as justice. Do we really want justice? Merriam-Webster Dictionary talks about the administration of law, especially the establishment or determination of rights according to the rules of law or equity. Being just, impartial, fair, the principle or ideal of just dealing. Do we really want always to get justice? Now, sometimes we cry at somebody else ought to get justice. But when it comes to us, well, no, wait a minute, how about mercy? How about some mercy? There was once a robber in Cairo who climbed into a window, fell, and broke his leg. He complained to the cadi, I perceive it's some authority in Egypt, and asked for justice from the owner because the window casement was defective. The cadi sent for the owner, who laid the blame on the carpenter. The cadi sent for the carpenter, who laid the blame on the mason. The mason blamed it on a pretty girl who was passing by and caught his eye while he was working. The girl blamed the dyer who made the gown. The dyer had no excuse to offer, and the cadi sentenced him to be hanged in his own doorway. Everyone was satisfied, but presently the executioner came back and said he could not hang the dyer because the door was too low. Then said the cadi, "Go, get a short dyer and hang him. We must have justice." Do we really want justice? Look at Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. That's a short verse, but that's a powerful verse. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Mercies, kindness, favor, pity. It's because of God's pity we're not consumed. And as we think about his mercy and compassion, he sees all of our sins and still offers mercy. You know the thing I like about that? He sees our sins. He still offers mercy. We don't have to worry about him finding out someday of something that we're hiding. He says, "I know it. I know it all. I know the ugly things in your past, the things that you cringe about. Did I really do that? Yes, and I'll give you mercy. Thank you, Lord." That ought to be very comforting, that our God knows and still offers. The truth is, we all deserve judgment. But not only do we get his mercy, he overrides. Justice Mowell once addressed a defendant in the presence of the jury which had convicted him. "Prisoner at the bar, your counsel thinks you are innocent. I think you innocent, but a jury of your own countrymen, in the exercise of such common sense as they possess, which does not appear to be much, have found you guilty, and it remains that I should pass upon you the sentence of the law. That sentence is that you be kept in imprisonment for one day. And as that day was yesterday, you may go." Because although many people thought he was guilty, the judge said no. We have a great judge, the one that counts, the court of the universe. And he looks at us and prays God he's a merciful judge. Because none of us could stand if he wasn't. What do we deserve? Look at Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What are the wages of sin? Death. What do we deserve? Death. Death. Is that sobering? We should not cry out for justice, because God says, if you want justice, I have to give you death. Praise God for the shed blood of his Son. Christianity is not a clever contrivance for outwitting justice. In Christ, we do not outrun justice. Justice itself, by a mystery we can neither understand nor explain, has been satisfied by Christ. The mystery of the cross lies within that thought. Now and then we seem to see somewhat of its meaning. God is just, and yet the justifier of the ungodly. Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He suffered the just for the unjust. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. When we are weariest, saddest, and most severe with ourselves, we hear these words, and they are full of rest, hope, and music. We see the light and call it heaven. The refuge in Christ is based upon confession, repentance, and restitution. It is not set up for righteous men, but for men unrighteous and lost. Praise God for mercy and not for justice. Take a look at 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Folks, every one of us is unjust because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. Every man deserves to die and suffer the consequences of his sin, but the just for the unjust. The innocent Holy One paid our sin debt. Maybe some of you remember many years ago the submarine the Pueblo captured in Korea. After the USS Pueblo was captured by the North Koreans, the 82 surviving crew members were thrown into a brutal captivity. In one particular instance, 13 of the men were required to sit in a rigid manner around a table for hours. After several hours, the door was violently flung open, and a North Korean guard brutally beat the man in the first chair with the butt of his rifle. The next day, as each man sat at his assigned place, again the door was thrown open, and the man in the first chair was brutally beaten. On the third day, it happened again to the same man. Knowing the man could not survive, another young sailor took his place. When the door was flung open, the guard automatically beat the new victim senseless. For weeks, each day, a new man stepped forward to sit in the horrible chair, knowing full well what would happen. At last, the guards gave up in exasperation. They were unable to beat that kind of sacrificial love, knowing they were going to get beaten. How much greater was the love that paid the eternal sin debt of the world? Let us never take for granted. We don't want justice. We want mercy. If we truly receive the full consequences of our sin, no man would have relief. No one. No one. Now, I want to think about sowing and reaping. What do we deserve? We deserve the full consequences of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. But if we truly received the full compensation of what we sowed, we'd never stand it. I understand, and I'm not trying to say that that verse is not powerful and sure, but I want you to consider David in 2 Samuel, in chapter 11, David sinned greatly with Bathsheba and then, of course, murdering Uriah. In chapter 12, Nathan came to him, told him the story, and out of his own mouth, in essence, he convicted himself. Nathan said, "Thou art the man. You're the man that you just sentenced, David." David said, "I have sinned." And look what is said in 2 Samuel 12:9. "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." According to the law, he should have died. Back in Genesis, he should have been executed. "Whosoever sheds man blood, by man I require his blood." Folks, the Bible does establish capital punishment. David should have died according to God's word. But he was rather given the sentence, "The sword won't leave your house." He did not suffer the full consequences of his sin. Who wants to honestly suffer the full consequences of their sin? But you know, I thought also as I pondered on that, probably David almost at times wish he would have died. Because you read the story of what he went through because of his sin. It was awful. We deserve nothing good. What makes us think we do deserve anything good? You know, we all tend to minimize our sin debt. We really do. We tend to minimize, but would you please think, sometimes we go to the store and we see to buy something and we look at the price tag and we look at this thing and we say, that's overpriced. And it might be, it might not, it might only be your opinion, whatever. When God looked at the sin debt of the world and he sent Jesus Christ as the payment, do you think he overpaid? Do you think God was deceived? Oh, I really didn't have to send Jesus. If he just would have taken a beating, that would have been enough. He didn't have to die. No, God was not deceived. He knew the price that had to be paid for sin. He sent his son. When we truly reflect on that, God did not overpay. The only one that could pay the sin debt was the God of all creation to give his life as Jesus Christ in the flesh. This is why it says not of works. We could never satisfy the sin debt. God was not deceived. He is not up there, oh, I didn't have to do that. You ever been had in a deal, right? You look back and you go, oh man, was that dumb. God is not wringing his hands saying, why did I overpay? Folks, that is the sin debt that God paid. Do we really think he owes us anything? It's merciful. If he gave us nothing else but eternal life, we have enough. If he did nothing else but save our eternal soul, that's enough. And that's more than enough. He didn't have to do that. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, said, when I get to heaven, I shall see three wonders there. The first wonder will be to see many people there whom I did not expect to see. The second wonder will be to miss many people whom I did expect to see. And the third and greatest wonder of all will be to find myself there. How do we see our own sin? No, maybe we weren't a slave trader, whatever you want to call him. He would take the ships down to Africa and pick up the slaves and bring them back for sale. Maybe we don't have that particular sin, but I'll tell you what, God looks at our sin and says it's enough to condemn us to eternal hell. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. Praise God for his mercy. And so it is, we don't deserve these things. Why? Because Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Whatever you do, don't ever cry for justice. Don't ever cry for justice. In a prayer meeting, a man stood up and prayed, Lord, send justice. All we need is justice. Please give us justice. Then another man stood up and prayed, Lord, give us mercy. We need mercy, not justice. Scripture plainly teaches us that it is God's mercy that he has given with his grace that we should be thankful. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God. I didn't deserve anything, and yet God even gave me grace to serve him. Surely God does give us more than we deserve. Not only does he not give us what we deserve, he doesn't give us what we deserve, but he gives us more than we do deserve on the good side. We deserve punishment, damnation, but he gives us eternal life through Jesus Christ. And then on top of that, he gives us things we don't deserve. Even more good things. Oh, Lord, what a God we serve. Felix Jardio, age 60, a Filipino farmer, had been saving his money for years to buy a water buffalo. He finally saved 1,300 whatever Filipino dollars are called, and went looking for the work animal, which he soon found. But alas, he did not know that the government had ordered all Philippine paper bills exchanged for a new currency issue, and his savings stashed up in the old currency were useless. And so in 1975, he sent a letter with the help of some schoolboys to the president. After all, he was only a poor, ignorant rice farmer. The answer came back. It said, quote, "The law must be followed. Because the deadline for exchanging bills has already passed, the government can no longer change your bills with the new ones. Even the president of the Philippines is not exempt from this rule." The letter did not end there. It continued, "However, because I believe that you really worked hard to save this money, I am changing them with the new ones from my own personal funds. I hope you'll be able to buy your water buffalo." He got something that he didn't deserve. The law said, no, you don't get anything. But the great judge, the president who had the power, he said, no, I see your great need. I see your need. But you ever stop and think about the things God gives us? I just want to give us a few things. We see that we don't deserve anything. But God is so good to us. He, of course, gives us salvation, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not have to give us that. God could have looked down at creation and said, you know what? You're a bunch of ungrateful people. But he chose in his love to say, I will send my Son to die for the sin debt of the world. God does not owe us anything, but you know what? Once we're saved, he gives us forgiveness of sins in our daily living. Not for salvation, but as a believer, we still have sin, and he says, I will still forgive you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, God. Because if you didn't forgive us day by day, we couldn't get out of bed in the morning. Praise God, he gives us second chances. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Aren't you glad we're able to get back up after we fall? And God still has mercy and says, I will still bless. Come on, let's go. Get up again. Aren't you glad that he does not have to give us his endless love, but he does? Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God, he gives us endless love. Do you know another one that's amazing that God does for us that he doesn't have to do? Not only does he not give us the condemnation we deserve, but in his mercy, he says, I'll work through you. You've got to be kidding. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's giving us this power in this body. Listen to it, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What was this made out of? The ground. God took the ground and made Adam. This is an earthen vessel. It's going to go back to earth someday. We have this treasure in these earthen bodies that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He is going to work through us, but the power is not us. It's God that's working through us. He's given us this treasure, the glorious gospel, to tell people. God says, I'm going to work through you. You got to be kidding. Father God, what an incredible blessing that is, that you would work through sinful man. Here's another blessing God does not have to give us. He answers our prayers. Matthew 21:22. And in all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Does God owe us that? No. God says, I will give you that. You don't deserve it. But in my mercy and in my grace, I will give you more than you deserve. I want you to see another blessing that God gives us. He is ever ready to help us, even when the mess is our fault. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, even when it's our fault. I blew it. And God says, yeah, you blew it. He doesn't deny it. And he still says, you know what? I heard your cry. Hang in there. I'll see you through this one too. And the last one that I want us to see that God gives us that he doesn't owe us is direction for daily living. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Do you realize God is overriding our to-do list? We devise our way. We have a to-do list, and God says, yeah, but I'm going to direct your path. God says, I know what you think you're going to do tomorrow. But praise God in his mercy. The last thing that I want us to reflect on in this message, therefore, based upon the mercy of God not giving us what we deserve, because he's compassionate, he gives us more than we deserve. What's the logical conclusion? Number one, we ought to forgive others because God forgave us. Let's take this its logical conclusion. We can't just sit here and go, isn't that great? God doesn't give me what I deserve. He gives me more than I deserve, but I better do something about it. I better forgive others when they're wrong to me. I better give other people another chance because God gives me a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. You know, another thing we ought to do, we ought to endure wrong when something goes wrong because God endures our wrong. I ought to pass that on to other people. You know, I also ought to love people that maybe are not real lovable because God loves me. See, we have to take this to its final conclusion. We can't just stop saying, boy, this is great. No, God did this for a purpose. Yes, he did it because he loves us. But we better start passing it on and live in light of what God has done for us. And how about we ought to help others and have mercy and compassion on other people? Lord God, I need to take what you have done to me. And I need to see your goodness and your mercy and your kindness. People need to see that in my life because it's been entrusted in this earthen vessel. When people look at me, they ought to see Christ. Bureaucrats in Austria had the right idea, but they were 10 years late in providing help to a needy family. A local woman and her three children were left homeless after a fire destroyed their house, so the community joined together and raised the equivalent of 10,000 British pounds to help the family. Instead of helping the family with the immediate needs, the savings book detailing the funds collected for the family was placed inside a safe in the mayor's office and forgotten. 10 years later, the money was rediscovered when the old mayor of the city stepped down and gave his successor the combination to the safe. The new mayor asked about the savings book he found inside and discovered the money had never been distributed. To set things right, the money plus accrued interest was given to the woman and her children. They had to pass on. It's not enough to just say we're sorry for the fire and the loss. Did they do anything? Yes, and even though it was late, the city did make an effort to make it right. The story goes on. It says, I'm glad this family got the money the community donated for them, but they didn't get it at the time they really needed it. Real compassion is doing the right thing, but do it in a timely manner. As we appreciate, thank you, God, for not giving me the punishment I deserve. Thank you, God, for blessing me with blessings I don't deserve. Pass it on now. Now, whenever we have the opportunity, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Aren't you glad God doesn't sit there, you know what, I'll get to you tomorrow. Lord, I need your mercy now. God says you've got it.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.